based experience on love.
Bad.
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 Bad. Bad.
Bad.
And life based experience on love. Welcome to the Pum Pum Chronicles. I am your host, Badass Jones, offering personal advice and life based experience on love, sex, relationships, intimacy, with a little Jamaican flair. Welcome to the Pum Pum Chronicles.
Yeah, how are you? How are things?
Things are all right. I mean, we are, well, last time we did the recording, you and I was basically in the midst of working this production for this TV series that I want to do.
Thanks.
We finally finished one episode about a month ago, and the remaining episodes are going to be used as trailers now, so because those are not complete.
That's amazing.
Right now it's basically editing and pitching. That's the plan division. So that's what we're doing right now.
Okay. Well, we probably should get started with the actual recording so that can, you know, talk about all this kind of stuff, because I didn't know the answer was going to be so detailed, but it's a good thing.
I'm long-winded when I speak nowadays. I'm sorry. I'm
long-winded. You are perfectly fine. Let's get into it. Greetings, 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 and welcome, Pum Pum Posse. Bless up yourselves. This is the Pum Pum Chronicles podcast. I am your host, AJ Badass Jones. You can find me on my social media platforms on Instagram and Twitter at the Pum Pum Chronicles. You can also follow my personal page for, you know, some other different, funner, I know that's not really a word, but you know, more festive type content. That, yeah, of course, is badass_jones_. If you want to get in contact with me, you can do so in one of two ways. You can either hit me up on an email, and that is thepumpumchronicles@gmail.com, or you can hit the call in line, leave me a message, send me a text. That number, of course, is 320-270-1086. And you can find the podcast on all platforms where podcasts can be heard, including Spotify, Amazon and Apple iTunes. And of course, possibly, as you've heard at the beginning of this recording, I was having a impromptu conversation with none other the fantastic, the exceptionally erotic Mr. Rich.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So I know I already asked how you're doing, but how are you doing? Let people know who you are, what it is that you do, and where they can get in contact with you.
Awesome. So I am Mr. Late Shift, creator of pleasures and basically memories nowadays, I guess you could say. You can find me you can find me on Instagram at Mr. Late Shift, Mr. Late Shift. You can find me on Twitter under the moniker Mr. MISTER_ late, yep.
it's Sunday, there's all kinds of forgiveness. It's Sunday.
I'm an erotica content creator. When I say content creator, I'm mostly writing, not performing. Maybe in the future, we'll see, but for now, yeah, just a writer of erotic content.
I say the exceptionally erotic, Mr. Matrix. So you were, prior to us doing our intros, you were talking about the production and trailers are going to be coming out. So tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, no. Under the other productions that are not so on the risque side, I've been creating, producing a TV series about relationships in Black Toronto. And because the landscape of relationships has changed, we're no longer looking at monogamous relationships like the the 2.5 kids and the picket fence thing or whatever. Now we have so many types of different relationships that people are acknowledging. You have common laws, you have co-parenting. And also polyamory is entering into the conversation as well. So the show is based on all of those and not so much the regular types. so that folks can actually see what it's like dating in this city.
So, okay, so talking about that, and this is a great segue into the conversation that we're going to have. Mm-hmm. What's your stance personally on dating? Are you still, I don't want to say old school, but I honestly feel like monogamy is, not that it's a, monogamy is never a bad thing, and whoever it's for, it's who it's for. Just like mm-hmm. polyamory and polygamy, whoever it's for, and polyandry, whoever it's for, it's for. Mm-hmm. But I almost feel like in this generation, in this day and age, monogamy seems so old school.
Yeah.
And I think to term it that way. But for you personally, where do you sit in the dating scale? Are you still, I shouldn't say still because I don't know if you've ever been, but are you more of a fan of monogamy, polyamory, somewhere in the middle?
I would say I'm more in the middle, but lending more towards polyamory, I would say. Only because the whole thing about, I don't see or understand the whole idea of having someone in just mine. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's an individual. So when I see that, you got to recognize other people's individuality, and people grow, people actually not just grow, but they also evolve. You know what I mean? And sometimes you evolve apart from each other. Sometimes you evolve closer together, you know? Mm-hmm. And sometimes you evolve, you want to experience other things, but you want to keep, you know, it's, you have to recognize the evolution, but you cannot, you know what I mean, like suffocate it because of rules that were replaced by society.
Right. Okay. So just mm-hmm. for a point of clarification for the listeners. So there's polygamy, polyamory, and polyandry. So polyamory is having multiple loves, loving more than one person. Mm-hmm. Polygamy is a man being married to more than one woman or having multiple wives. And polyandry is a woman having multiple husbands or multiple male partners. Those are the three differences. So when we're talking about polyamory, we're talking about having relationships with multiple people. Mm-hmm. Some people consider that also to be a form of ethical non-monogamy, which essentially is you are not in a particular relationship with any one person, but you have multiple relationships with multiple people, but everyone is aware of what's going on. And that's where the ethical part of it comes in. So you said that you're somewhere. And so have you exercised like your current belief in more of a polyamorous type life? I don't want to say lifestyle because I feel so like flippant and you know what I mean? But like, this is your life. These are life choices, kind of like, you know, if you choose to be vegan, if you choose to be omnivorous, if you choose to be. But have you started exploring?
So, and that's the funny part. I mean, I've engage with women who were polyamorous and who had a main partner, and I came in as the secondary.
Okay.
I've done that. And to be honest, I mean...
Hold on. Sorry. Is the person that is the main person, are they aware that you exist? Or are they aware that you're part of the mix?
That's the thing. I'm told that they are, but I have not met. Like, we haven't had the kitchen table conversation type thing. You know, it's... Yeah, it's never been, I'd never met their main partner or anything like that. It's always been, I'm told that they are polyamorous. And you know what? I'll take them at their word. It'll be like, you know what? If we watch Insecure, but like sort of a Molly type of situation.
Okay, so I'm going to say to my embarrassment, I've never watched Insecure, but I will take your I will take your word. Okay, so let me ask you another question then, just to play devil's advocate.
Yeah.
Do you think that some people, not everybody, do you think that some people are using the term polyamorous as a way to cheat?
Yes. Most definitely. It is so insane in itself, like when I look at it, because it's actually even the whole thing about being polyamorous, I've heard of partners who and mostly men who basically say, okay, let's enter a polyamorous relationship, but the women are not allowed to go outside the relationship, right? He's allowed, but they're not allowed.
And who makes that rule?
The man, most likely.
Okay, wow.
And the women basically jump on it and they say, oh yeah, we're polyamorous. But they're not allowed, you know? So it's not really a polyamorous relationship. It's just more so he has range to be with his woman, but then also has range to be with multiple of the women.
But I think also too, it gives him an opportunity to maybe bring a third party into their relationship.
There's a lot of that.
Right. So he gets to decide, well, yeah, she's going to come in the bedroom with us. She's not my girlfriend, but you know, I told you I was polyamorous. So she's going to, you know, hang out with us and do one and two things with us.
Exactly.
Boy. and this is my, and I don't know if it's like a, I don't know. It creates a strange dichotomy for me because on one hand, I like the idea that people are exploring and that people are having more open conversations about their intimate needs and about their sexual needs and about their relationship needs. But on the other hand, you have some people are like who are hiding their hand. They're kind of talking part of the conversation, but not the whole conversation, you know? And then how do you place restrictions on somebody for the same thing that you want for yourself? Like that that is selfish.
Very selfish. It's absolutely selfish. It's basically looking out for yourself first and not even considering your partner that you have.
But that's what it feels like. It feels like to me, like you're stacking the deck. So like if I'm a dude and I say to my girl, like, you know what, I'm polyamorous, you know, I want to date multiple women, but I'm not okay with you having like other penis or dating other men. Are you cool with that? And because she loves me, because she wants you, she may not be okay with it. But we know that people sometimes enter into situations or relationships just because they need to have a somebody, right? Yeah. Then it's like, I feel like he's stacking the deck for himself because suppose now things don't work out with his main. Now he's got two or three other options.
Exactly. You know, it's funny. There was who was I think she was a member of Blake Ivory or Black Ivory. She was married to the member of New Edition.
Okay.
Yeah, and I saw a segment at the time I was watching what was it? Real Housewives of Atlanta. Yes, I watched it. I don't have a problem with that.
Don't have no shame. It's okay. Listen
I got
to me.
No shame.
You're allowed to watch whatever you want.
Exactly. No, but yeah, she was on that season, and she was talking about how she was in a polyamorous relationship with her husband. However, the terms of the agreement for that polyamorous relationship is that she was allowed to only be with women, not with men.
What?
And yeah, and at times they could bring other women into the bedroom with the two of them.
So that, again, benefited
him.
I feel like it's just been a historic thing where, and not to dog or knock men, because I know not all men are like that, but I feel like it's a historic thing where men have always controlled what women do with their bodies and the ways in which they engage sexually. Yeah. And that's something that just hasn't changed. So now we're weaponizing polyamory to the benefit of men.
Exactly.
There's
nothing in there that basically allow a person like your partner to actually explore on her own, right? It's more so, you know what, I get what I want and I'm happy with it.
Do you think it's fear-based? Like
very much so.
So like okay, tell me why you think it's fear-based and then I'll tell you why I think it's fear-based.
Yeah. So there's this comedian, Michael J. And he tells this joke about how he wants his daughters to be lesbian, doesn't want his sons to be gay, because he doesn't want any of his children to be penetrated.
I can't deal with that.
You know? So that's the joke that he has, right? And I think that's the issue with men. They don't like the idea of their women being penetrated.
Except by them.
Exactly.
But you know, I know that you and I've had this conversation, like, you know, not recorded, just kind of like as friends when we talk. Yeah. I'm always baffled by the way that people are so invested in what other people are doing sexually, including their children. Instead of wanting your young people to just have healthy, safe sexual relationships with whomever they choose, we're policing people's pum pum and we're policing people's cocky and with who and who they should not be having sex with me and with. Sorry, and I will never understand that. Like, it's just bizarre to me.
No, it's insane. It's insane because it has nothing to do with the individual themselves. There's no benefits to whoever it is that you're trying to police. It has all to do with your ego, with how you see things, and it's not affecting you, it's affecting them. You know? They don't care about the individual, they only care about themselves at the end of the day. Actually, it's kind of funny. I was in a relationship with this one woman, and it was probably the only time where I was in agreement with someone as to whether or not, if we were to have children, how the children would be raised in terms of what would happen if we were to be told by the kid that, oh, they are interested in same-sex relationships, that type of thing, you know?
Right.
Only because when I look at, and if you look at many documentaries and everything, when these when people from the LGBTQ community, right, when they come out to their family, to their parents, the one thing that is crushing to them is when they are rejected by their own family.
Of course.
And it's like I'm thinking, if I was a If I had a kid, why would I want to crush them like that?
Yeah.
That's, yeah, could not do it. I could not do it.
Listen, I know men who have flat out said that they would disown their ute if they came to them and said that they were gay, specifically gay. They could more deal with their daughter saying that they're lesbian because that's more acceptable. But if their son was to come to them and tell them that they were gay or they like this, like they would disown them or beat them up or bring them somewhere where they could, you know, have them have sex with a woman so they could force it out of them. Like somehow slipping their dick inside a vagina is going to make them decide that they're no longer gay. But
You saw what Boosie did with his son.
Listen, please don't get me started. Please go there. Like you can't. Oh my gosh. You know, I used to think that this type of idiocy stemmed from ignorance, stemmed from lack of information, stemmed from lack of culture. And when I say that, you know, having access to other people from other parts of the world. That it stemmed from isolation, that it stemmed from, but people are just blatantly ignorant. In this day and age, in big old 2023, soon to be 2024, in this big day and age of technology and advancement, and the fact that people have been, there have been gay people, lesbian people, and everyone in the community, the LGBTQIA plus community, from the beginning of time. This is not something that just happened yesterday.
No, it's not. It's not.
People weren't making these choices a week ago or 10 years ago. People have been making these choices since people have existed.
Very true. Absolutely. It's like homosexuality, same-sex love interests have been as old as there's been human beings in the world. It's more so how it looks. It's the optics that people are more so afraid of. And
Like you didn't do a good job raising your kids because your kids chose not to be heterosexual.
pretty much, or even like, for example, you see how this whole pause business. Yeah, how you gotta say pause every time you say something that could be perceived as gay or whatever.
Yes. Or before it was like no homo. Like,
Exactly.
you know what I mean? And it's strange to me, like even so it's funny, right? Like I did a in my stories, I have a video up where I'm eating a banana and I was gonna do some naughty things with the banana, but how Instagram loves to target me or whoever it is targeting me loves, I just decided to like do a little playful thing and then I bit the banana and I did a wink and carried on. But in my mind, I'm thinking there are guys who will never hold an entire banana and eat a banana because if they do, it's perceived that they like cocky in their mouth because they're eating a whole
But
banana instead of breaking off the banana and putting a piece at a time in their mouth.
it is dumb.
Mr. Sir, Mr. Leadership, this is the world that we live in right now. That these are the things that people are worried about. You can't eat a hot dog because it'll mean that you like cocky in your mouth. You can't eat a banana as a man because it will mean that you like cocky in your mouth. Nourishing your body. eating food. This is what we've come to in this friggin' world that we live in right now.
It's dumb. It's absolutely dumb. The thing is, I care what you think I'm doing in my bedroom. You know what I mean? Like, I don't care what you think. I mean, like, if whatever I'm engaging in, that's for me to enjoy and not for you to care about. You know what I mean?
You said that perfectly.
Exactly. It's never. But yeah, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, but that's just it. It's like we're not we, you and I, but other people are so concerned mm-hmm. about what someone else is doing in their bedroom and the way in which they're being loved and loving another person. Yeah. Like they put themselves in this chokehold of worry about shit that has nothing to do with them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like really and truly, you know, and for the listeners out there, if you're a heterosexual and and you've always been heterosexual, why does it concern you about what somebody is doing and the ways in which they give and receive pleasure? You're not in their bedroom. They're not approaching you. They're not making a pass at you. They're not hitting on you. Why do you care?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Why do you care?
I don't know.
It's you know, it's how people still are in this high school mentality. Like they never leave high school. They don't evolve past high school. To them, it's like, hey, how people perceive me is how I need to convey, how I need to present myself. Like the mask that they created themselves for themselves in high school is the mask that they keep on living with for the rest of their lives.
Yeah. I was thinking back to something that you just said about the person that you know who has the main relationship and has informed their partner that they're polyamorous, but their partner's not allowed to explore their own individual polyamorous journey or whatever. I was just thinking, like, I recently read on social media that Nick Cannon's multiple baby mothers, minus one of them, but they've basically been told that they're not allowed to have other relationships with other people, that they basically have to buy into him being their only one because he knows he wants to hit raw dog and doesn't want to have to worry about getting tested or them getting tested. So the easiest way to just avoid all of that is tell them that they can't fuck anybody else. He can fuck multiple people because they're all clean and they shouldn't be like the idiocy. But the crazy thing is there are other people who live this way and they are I wonder if, is it because there's a shortage? So for, again, just within the heterosexual community, is it because there's a shortage of men? Why more women are willing to go along with this idea that sharing their men and having him having multiple women and multiple children is the thing to do to ensure their own futures?
I would say it's the way the narrative has been presented. If you look from beginning of time, the narrative has always been if a man has multiple women, this man is basically he's considered alpha. You know what I mean? And the way this narrative has been presented, I mean, if you look at it, Nick Cannon is considered alpha along with Future and the rest of those men who like to impregnate multiple women at times. It's not so much, how could I say this? It's not so much any, for what I'm seeing, and especially with Nick Cannon, because I know he's not doing that to Mariah, because Mariah is.
Yeah, she ain't having that shit, none at all. Husband, children, ex-wife, divorced, that's it. You cannot spin the block.
You're not coming to me and telling me that I can only mess with one person. Mm-mm. Mm-mm. Like, you know what? Who was it? Dave Chappelle said that Beyonce has fuck you money.
Oh, yeah. Yep. And so does Mariah. Mariah ain't playing with nobody. Mariah is not playing with Nick Cannon. You can go impregnate who you want to. You ain't spinning the block. I'm good. I got my twins. we're good over here. Do whatever else that you want to do. Sully your reputation in whatever way you want to. And about I come back here, sir.
And these kids are not even considered to be brothers and sisters at home kids. That's
the other thing I always wonder about. And I don't want to get too like far off track with that. But like even that with, you know, these are all children mm-hmm. who are all siblings, mm-hmm. but may never, ever meet one another or spend time with one another.
Yeah.
You know, like his eldest are Mariah's children and they're old enough to be aware that the other kids exist.
Exactly.
But then, like, with the rest of the children, as they grow, like, is he going to encourage relationships? Like, it's just so messy.
Very.
It's just so messy. But I don't want to get stuck there. I wanted to ask you, so you're dating in Toronto.
Yeah.
And being polyamorous. How much of a challenge has that been? Because, again, you and I have talked about this before. I feel like people in Toronto, they're just not ready. Like, everything's just so... 1950s, 1960s, 1970s. Like they haven't, and I could be wrong, so please let me know. But I feel like dating here, it's depressing. It's really depressing.
I'm not gonna lie. I mean, as of late, it seems like that's what it's been like. Like, you know, dating here for me has been like that. But then again, also, recently, someone has open my eyes to something that apparently I have fans.
Okay, come on. Come on, Mr. Leadership with the fans them.
Hey. No, because, and you too, because the thing is, right?
Hi. Don't mix me, please. Don't bring me into this.
No. But check it out. You create content. And the fact that people consuming this content, these people consuming the content is fans. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. Yeah. So
we got fans, you know what I'm saying?
I love how you went from I have fans to we have fans. Listen to me.
But that's what I'm saying. That's exactly what I'm saying. I mean, having fans now, I never put it into consideration that, oh, at this point in time, the people that are engaging with me, like, you know, from like DMs and everything like that, it's not so much that they want to get to know the individual behind Mr. Leadership. They want to know the man. They want to know the creator of words. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And they have a person. They created this persona, and so now I have to screen these people now. That's basically what has to happen. I have to start screening people in terms of allowing them into my world. So yeah, it's. I'm recognizing that now, you know what I mean? And in Toronto in itself, people don't come out and say, oh, yeah, I'm like, you know, sex positive and I'm okay with all these things type of thing or whatever. No, to them, it's more so it's behind the scene. It's like, yeah, yes. I like these things, but don't let anybody know about it.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? That's what Toronto is like. So
yeah,
I find that I think I might have to start traveling now to actually, I'm not on no travel bros business or nothing like that. Like I'm not on this movement that I just heard about, which I think, you know what, whatever, the women think the same thing of you here, but you guys going to
cool. Yeah.
You go disappoint women in other continents. That's good, but but
I do agree with you. You know, there are times when I think that, you know, when someone messages and they're like, "Oh, I want to get to know you," and this, that, and the third. You know, people don't even know that I have an actual first name. Like, and the thing is, a lot of them don't even bother to ask. Like, they're okay with me being AJ Badass Jones. So they'll just call me AJ or they'll call me Bad. Like, very few people ever say, well, what does AJ stand for? They just accept that that's what it is and the personality and the persona that goes with that, as opposed to seeing me as a whole person. And, you know, at the same time, it makes it easier to weed out the people who are not going to get any sort of investment of time.
See, and that's what I've been messing up on. I have not weeded out anybody.
Come on, you need to step up your vetting game, sir. What?
I just found out about it. And it was just like, oh shit. Okay, I got fans. And I'm like, when that person said it, I'm like, I don't have fans. Like, come on. Like, I'm not on the level of you know, like, I don't have followers and everything like that. I'm not crazy with it or anything, but I do still create content, and I still have people that consume the content and basically want to get to know me based off of that content. When I'm the other guy, the real me, it's like, oh, who's this guy?
Right.
What?
They like the persona. They like the persona more than the person, oftentimes.
You know what? And that's funny. I remember listening to Breakfast Club, and Charlamagne said this, and he said, people don't care about the truth as long as the lie is more entertaining.
Absolutely. People, yeah. And that's why people get away with lying, because lies are so sweet. No one really wants it. It's like when somebody says, okay, well, can I get your opinion? Tell me the truth. Then you tell them the truth and they get vexed with you. You're like, but you said you wanted the truth. People don't, in fact, a lot of people, the majority of people don't, in fact, want the truth, or they want a sweeter version of the of the lie. That sounds to them like it could be the truth. Does that make sense?
See, now that brings me to asking you a question.
Oh, go ahead. I'm here for it.
So now when women basically come out and say that, you know, they want men who are themselves, or men who stop lying and that type of thing, where does that fall off?
Okay, so women don't always want the truth. They want to hear a really good version of a lie that they can believe the truth. Kind of like the same thing I just said. Okay. Because I think with people on a whole, you know that the truth is going to hurt your feelings. The same way, like, if you ask a person a question, you're really hoping for a yes. And even though you know the person has the right to say no, you're banking on the fact that they're not going to say no. And when they say no, you get offended, like they don't have a choice to say the no. I think it's the same thing with a lie. It's like, you want to believe that you're that person's one. You want to believe that you're that person's everything. You want to believe all the things that they say that they're going to do, even though they keep falling short, even though they keep coming up with, you know, on the negative side of it. When they say that they're sorry and that they're going to do better, that they're going to change, or they're going to do all these things, you believe it because you want to see them do better for you.
Yeah.
And that's a problem. And honestly, I've even had the same issue. The last person that I was dating, you know, my best friend kept saying, she's like, okay, how many more times are you gonna take sorry? Because I'm like, no, he said he's gonna change. Okay, if I just give him one more. But then the thing is, like, how many one more chances do you give before you just accept that the person is lying to you and they are in fact not gonna do better?
Yeah. That's true. That is so true. But you see, now me as a man, right? Hearing this, right? And I'm seeing all these other guys that are coming up with all these elaborate lies, I would say. Not so elaborate, to be honest. Not so elaborate. Like, I look at that, listen to the lies, and I'm just like, you believe that shit? All right, cool. Like, I'm honest to a fault. Okay. If people read some of the stuff that I've written over the years, like, I've written stuff about myself that most people would have held on to, because, you know, but I'm honest to a fault. And even in conversation, I'm honest to a fault. I don't like the idea of lying, because lying requires creativity, and my creativity, I want to keep it. I'm selfish. I want to keep it for my work. I don't want to put it into my personal life like that. The only time I put it in my personal life, when I want to make surprises and that type of thing, but that's besides the point.
Yes.
But when I see all the liars that basically are out there, and they are, you know what I mean, thriving in relationships, now I tell myself, should I be doing that? Should I go on and just, like, you know, do the same thing? Because look at this. You know what I mean?
It almost makes you feel like you should.
Yeah.
But, like, I think that there's this desperation to be in a relationship so that you can be seen in your relationship. And so a lot of people are just kind of putting up with whatever for that desire to be in a relationship and to be seen in their relationship, you know? And I've said this before. I feel like you and I've had this conversation before many a times. It's like people are so caught up with their socials and being, you know, it's so present in their socials in terms of relationships that they'll put up with bullshit just to be able to post usies and to be able to post, oh, we went on vacation, and to be able to post this, that, and the third, you know? And they'll put up, they'll put up with the foolishness, you know, to be able to say, oh, Bay and I went to, you know, whatever expensive restaurant, or Bay and I went to. Meanwhile, Bay has five other women that he's entertaining. You know, you may be the main one, but, you know, then you have girls showing up in your DMs like, oh, I was with your man last night. And then you want to fight these girls because instead of fighting your man, but you're putting up with the lies because you want to be seen outside with your man and in the public eye with your man.
Facts. Oh my gosh. You know what? Funny enough, I'm sorry, because I'm remembering this thing. I was listening to Shits and Gigs, and they were reacting to somebody that wrote to them. And apparently, this woman got involved with a man who was cheating on his wife. The wife reached out to him, to her, I mean, and the woman says, I'm going to let my man handle it. She says that to the wife.
What?
Yes.
Hold on. Rewind me, please. The woman who is the side chick said to the wife, I'm going to let my man handle it, which is the wife's husband?
Yes.
See, people, I feel like women like that need a punch in their throat. Like, oh my goodness me. Yeah, boy.
I mean, could you imagine?
No. Absolutely. You know that 100% for anybody listening to this, 110% that man is responsible and accountable, but also to some of these omandem, they don't know their, you know what I feel like it used to be? Like in the 40s and 50s, men would have their outside relationships and you'd never see or hear nothing about that woman. Maybe until she got pregnant and then there's a youth and then there's a confrontation. But for the most part, side chicks just kind of stayed quietly in the shadows. You know, they got their expenses paid, their hair done, their whatever. But now these side gal them, they're bold the fuck.
Yeah.
They don't care. What was that? The football player who's he got his side chick pregnant, and then I guess because he kept telling her, or she was under the impression that now that she had this child for him, he was gonna leave his wife, and she started posting up bugger things.
Now, I think it was a basketball player.
And doubled down on the fact that he was not leaving his wife.
There was a basketball player, Zion Williamson.
Yes, all that one too.
That's what it was, That's insane.
Because people like to believe the lies.
Yeah.
If that man is married and has not divorced his woman, if that woman is married and has not divorced her man and says, oh, it's complicated, believe you me, it's not complicated.
Yeah.
They want something to satisfy them in the meantime while the ship is rocking back and forth.
Yeah.
But trust and believe, once that ship settles into clearer waters and everything is good between them and their person, them not going nowhere. Them not going nowhere.
Not at all. At all. At all. It's more so, you see, that exploring that we were talking about earlier.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, they need to explore themselves, right? But instead of, you know, having a conversation with their spouse requesting for the exploration or anything like that, it's more so like having your cake and eat it too. It's now, you know what? Oh, let me have my cake and eat it too. Like, let me go ahead and enjoy this forbidden fruit. You know what I'm saying?
And
as long as I'm not caught, it's good.
But you know, they say, I've heard said,
what?
It's easier to beg forgiveness than to ask for permission. If you ask for permission, you're going to hear a no. But if you beg forgiveness, you can go to counseling and fix that shit. It's easier to beg forgiveness than to ask for permission.
We're a backward society.
Listen to me. So I want to ask you a question, just one very straightforward question. In your opinion, what's worse? dating someone who is emotionally unavailable, meaning that they're emotionally closed off, but they'll be physically present, or someone who's physically unavailable, but emotionally present. So you don't have as much time to spend with them, but they show up for you in all the emotional ways possible.
That's interesting. That is very, very interesting. Because I'm currently dating two women like that right now.
On what side? Emotionally unavailable?
Well, no. One is emotionally and one is like physically.
Okay, so perfect. You see, I didn't even know that. All up in your business and didn't know I was in your business. Watch here. Okay, so not to... hopefully they don't listen to this and you know,
feel no they'll listen, to it, but, they'll listen to
oh
it.
Man,
I'll share.
So if you had to say, yes, even taking them out of the equation, mm-hmm, which better suits you, or which is worse, because I think that was the original, yeah, which is worse is the original question. Somebody who's not emotionally available but is physically there if you need intimacy, if you need to go out somewhere, or somebody who physically can't be present, let's say it's just scheduling, or they're not really interested in intimacy, but emotionally they're there for you, they're very supportive, they're very encouraging, you can lean on them and not, which is the better of the two?
It's hard to even answer that one, because I need that physical, I need that presence around me and everything, I need those hugs, that type of thing, because you know, physical touch is definitely a love language of mine.
Yes.
But also because and I'll say this, because of my upbringing, right? It's something that I need as well. The whole like words of affirmation, the boosting, you know what I'm saying?
Or the verbal support and encouragement. Yeah.
I need that in spades as well, you know what I'm saying? So it's I can't say one is better than the other, because I need both, you know, and considering like I said, I'm seeing these two women, and I'm getting one from the other and one from and the other one from the other. It's more so, yeah, I'm not like, you know, if I could get all of them in one, it would be amazing. You know what I mean?
Okay, so let me ask you another question then in that vein. Do you think that this would be a good supportive argument or good supportive backing for advocating for more polyamorous relationships? That the fact that you cannot get everything that you need in one person,
most definitely,
is all the more reason why people should engage in polyamorous relationships?
Most definitely. I mean, the thing is, it's because you're not going to get everything from one person. Like, you know, I remember watching Why Did I Get Married, and they were talking about the 80-20 rule.
Right? The 80-20 rule?
Yeah, you get 80% from one, 80% of everything you want from one person.
And then you sacrifice the other 20%?
But yeah, most people, that's what happens. When they see 20%, they think it's 100% because they've never seen it before.
Mm.
So they drop the 80% and go for that 20%. And when they realize it's only 20%, it's too late. You dropped your 80% already. Right? That was the premise of the movie.
Right.
But I do believe you don't get everything you want in one person at all. You know what I'm saying? And that's where you have to recognize in yourself what it is that you're willing to give up, or what you're willing to sacrifice or compromise. You know what I'm saying? Because every person you meet, you're recognizing what you're willing to compromise to be with that person, right? In the process, myself, if I had a main partner, for her to have a secondary relationship, would I be okay with it? I think, like, right now, because I don't have a main partner like that, you know, I'm just dating or and whatnot. Right now, I'm thinking, because of my mindset and where it's at right now, I'm thinking that I would be okay with it, right? But I would want to have everything that I want in that one person. And if I cannot get that in that one person, I would love to have even like, you know, two or three people, but not two. Listen, and this is the thing. When you're young, you think, oh, I can have a harem of women. No, do not want to have that many people in your life.
It's stressful. Because you're responsible for those people.
Exactly.
You're emotionally and physically responsible for those people.
And sometimes financially. I'm not going to.
Absolutely.
No, I am not willing to have a harem of people. Because you know what? It's a bunch of of personalities.
Yes.
That you have to deal with. And some of these personalities suck. Some of these personalities suck. Oh my gosh. Oh my goodness. I swear. Some people, because the way people present themselves to you, you think, oh yeah, though, that person is amazing. That person is dope. But they suck when you get to know them.
It's the representative.
Yes.
The representative is usually dope, and that's what sucks you in. And then when you spend enough time with them and that the representative starts to go away a little bit of time and you start to see their true personality.
Yeah.
That's the real turning point in decision making, in terms of, can I see myself long term with this person, or do I just call it quits and hit the highway now?
Exactly. The freaking representative. I hate representative. I hate, you know what? It's because I've decided to do away with my representative. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Having done so, what happens now? I'm expecting other people to actually do the same.
Really?
I'm expecting
that. Good for you in that expectation, sir. Nobody but you is doing that. Well, no, let me not say that. Few people are doing that because they still like the games of the rigmarole.
Yeah.
You've decided you're over the games.
Yeah.
Let me just give you the authentic me. Exactly. Either you stay and you like, then deal with it, or you go. But I'm not exactly putting on a front no more, because it's just too much work.
Exactly. And that's been the way I've been living, you know? And to be honest, it's more so when I look at it with the whole representative issue and stuff, it's always been I'm trying to explain how when I look at it personally, right, with this whole I don't know, I don't like the idea of living a facade. Like, you know, I have gone through multiple like women who, like, you know, who have cheated on me. I've been
sorry,
you know what I mean? I wouldn't say sorry, because you know what, it's something that has led me to where I am in terms of, you know, being the individual that I am and understanding how to navigate this the whole dating world, right?
Yes.
I've been cheated on, but also I've been lied to, in terms of, you know, people who tell me, oh, you know what, this is who I am, this is what I enjoy, and I engage them as per what they've said. But then the representative removes themselves and the actual individual comes in, and the actual individual is so far removed from who the representative is. And when I see the actual individual, I don't want to engage with the individual.
Damn.
I don't want to. The representative is far more, yeah, no,
bring back the rep. I want the rep. I don't want this version. I want the rep, please. Bring back the rep.
And
damn,
but that sucks for them, because as an individual yourself, right, it sucks for you because you want to be yourself.
Yes.
You know, you why would you want to be anyone else but yourself in a relationship?
Very true.
Yeah, no, so, yeah.
To me, that feels like, you know, being with someone who, let's say, for instance, they say that they're going to do a particular thing. And you give them time to do this particular thing, and they don't do it.
Yeah.
And you ask them about it, and they apologize. Say, oh, I'm so sorry. Yeah, yeah, no, I'm definitely going to do that. I'm all about that. I'm definitely going to do that. And you wait a little bit more and they still haven't done it, and you ask them about it again. And it's a cycle of me asking you and you apologizing, me asking you and you apologizing. Instead of you just saying, I'm not actually for any of that, I don't really do any of that.
Yeah.
You keep lying to me
Yeah.
about it. trying to make me believe that you're really this person or this particular thing. And I wonder sometimes if it's the hope that on their end, that we're going to just give up and say, okay, fine, whatever. I don't need to do that. And so it takes the responsibility away from them of having to try.
No, actually, you know what? It's kind of funny. And I had this conversation. I've had this conversation with multiple women in the past. The funny thing is, a lot of women, you know what I mean? Like, they bank on these men to actually change, right? And
don't I know it?
But when you bank on these men to change, what happens is this. These men, the only time they change is when you leave them.
And, you know, yeah. Hold on.
Go ahead.
That's me clapping. That is me clapping. And then they change and somebody else benefits from the damn change.
Exactly. Exactly. It's more so because they realize they lost something amazing in their lives, right? But in the meantime, while they were with that person, every time they basically had a chance to get away with whatever bullshit that they were doing, they would get away with it and they would continue on because it works for them. Because it works, you know? Oh, I remember this one guy. We had a conversation with this dude. It's stupid. It's completely... I feel it's related, but anyways, he was talking about how, you know what I mean, he couldn't date black women, and he was only good with white women, and he talked about how the black women that he met on dating sites, you know what I'm saying, they didn't give him a chance because, you know, he was talking about so he had a debt from student loan or something like that, right? Mm-hmm. So he had a big debt with student loan, but the black women that he met on dating sites did not understand that. But him, now he meets the women that he's working with and he starts dating those women, the white women that he's working with. And he starts dating them and they are cool with him having the student debt. But the problem is this, right? The black women that he met on dating sites, they didn't have the opportunity of knowing who he was. You know what I'm saying? Over a period of time. He was just dating them and he dropped on them the whole fact that he had a student debt loan. Right?
Right.
Meanwhile, the white women, he's been working with them for a number of years. He's had the chance to establish a friendship with these women. You know what I'm saying? And
yeah.
When it was time to actually reveal that he wanted to establish a romantic relationship with them, yes, they knew about the student loan, but they also knew who he was as an individual.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? It's folks don't know dynamics like that. You know what I'm saying? They just go ahead and just like think they create these narratives about other people. Not knowing that, you know what, you have to establish certain things in order for people to actually take you for who you are.
Yeah, you have to establish a rapport with them. You have to establish trust with them.
Yeah.
Judging whether or not somebody's going to be a good fit for you based on whether they stay once you've revealed your financial situation. Like, how is that fair to the person?
Exactly. Exactly.
That, and then you want to vilify black women, say, oh, all she thinks about is the money. But my friend, you didn't give her an opportunity for there to be anything else established. You're like, oh, well, you know, I just want to let you know up front that I've got this student loan. So if, you know, you want to do things that cost money, I don't have it because I've got this student loan, and or them kind of idiotic conversations. Like, it just.
Exactly. I mean, mind you. And it's not just black women, it's women, it's like women and men or whatever. Like I'm saying, like, there's a lot of people, as soon as you give them news about who you are as an individual, they'll back away. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Other people, when they get to know you, it's like they love who the individual is. You know what I'm saying? You just got to give them a chance to actually get to know who you are as an individual. I mean,
but But do you think it's because there's no pressure in one situation versus the other? Because if you're developing just an amicable work friendship with people that you're not necessarily thinking about dating, they have a more relaxed opportunity to get to know you than someone that you're intentionally looking to dating now, because there's the other possibilities of like long term. Does that make sense what I'm saying?
It makes sense.
I agree with you that, you know, you're not giving the person that you're actually intentionally trying to date fair opportunity to get to know you. You're dropping like a bunch of things on them all at once to see if they're going to tuck tail and run.
Yeah.
Which puts pressure on them as opposed to giving them a more relaxed opportunity to get to know you.
I'll say this, because I've been looking at my dating my dating history myself, right? And this has been since I started dating. I find that my relationships in dating, within the first 3 weeks, you know what I mean? 1 to 3 weeks, it has been physical. And I've been used to that. But now as I'm older, you know what I mean? I put on some pounds on myself and I'm...
I call it that sexy weight.
Oh man, I wish it was sexy weight, because you know the way it looks like now, it's more so I'm engaging with individuals, but now it's more so I feel like, you know what, maybe a friendship has to be established with this individual, although I've been used all my life to fucking,
yeah,
within the first 3 weeks. And to be honest, up until I turned 40, like, I'm not lying. Like, every one of these other relationships has always been, yeah, I've been fucking for, in the first 3 weeks, that's when these relationships have happened.
And now things have changed for you? Now your focus is more getting to know them before hopping in the sack?
Yeah,
that sounds bad, because I know that you were getting to know them as well, but maybe holding off on the intense sexual energy and the intense sexual attraction and continuing along that path of getting to know them a little bit better first and then
very true
exploring.
I would say that. I mean, because I'm so focused on energy now.
Yes.
Because I don't like whoever, like I like whatever I consume, right? Like,
yes.
I've been with women who are agents of chaos. You know what I'm saying?
I love that.
They thrive in chaos. You know what I'm saying? I've been with women like that. And I've been with women who are selfish. I've been with women who also were generous. You know what I'm saying?
But yes.
I could not provide the same generosity that they gave me. You know what I mean?
Mm.
Yeah. There's been a lot of different engagements that I've had with different individuals, and now.
But I think that's great though, because it adds to,
yeah,
it adds to your discernment. It mm-hmm. it adds to the way in which you vet individuals that you want to keep around you instead of wasting time.
Exactly. Exactly. Absolutely. It's and you know what? That's how I think about it. It's about the time. Because my time is so, like, I value my time so much right now.
Yes.
I cannot be with someone who's gonna be wasting my time. I cannot do that. Absolutely not.
So I wanna say to that mm-hmm. it's funny, because anybody who knows me, when it comes to dating, I'm not a patient person in that if I see that there's bullshit happening or too many excuses or too many apologies or just too much fuckery,
yeah.
I'm like, I'm done. You know what I mean? Because much like you and a lot of other, I value my time and I don't have the patience. But in having conversations with, you know, different women that I've come in contact with and people who's opinions I value, I was starting to wonder, am I too impatient? And so in this last experience, I went to the extreme opposite end of being overly patient, mm-hmm. of being overly accommodating, of being overly forgiving and of overly accepting of the apologies and the excuses, so much so that I put myself in misery because of that. And at the end of the day, like, I thought to myself, I can't really blame that individual because I'm the one who stood on this and didn't leave when I should have left and didn't, you know, say enough is enough, right? But so to that vein, I want to ask you as well, like, how many chances do you give an individual to fuck up on the same thing before you say, you know what, like, I'm done? Does it depend on the person and the rapport that you have with them? Or do you have, like me, I had a set number. If you fuck up three times, like, it's a wrap.
Yeah.
Three is as many chances as you get, because I didn't even give my pickney them three opportunities. They got two. And then beaten would ensue. You got the first warning, you got a second warning, which was a choice. And then the third warning, there's some kind of discipline coming because your ears are hard. Individuals that I can, you know what I mean? So, but for you personally, like, in your dating style, how much opportunity do you give for a person to fuck up before you say, you know what, I'm good, I'm out?
I was in the same predicament as you were. Like, right now, I'm basically in the predicament that you're talking about. Like,
a person, it's not a nice place.
It's not. It's absolutely not, because it's not comfortable. It's absolutely not comfortable, because you have a, your solution, you are solution based. You know what I mean? You are the solution type of individual, right? And for you, it's more so, you know what, let me, oh, this is not working out, this is the solution, let me get rid of that person. You know what I mean? Because that makes sense. You know what I'm saying? But they are, no, for me, it's more so at this point, I've given chances. Like, remember I was talking about the two women that I'm dating, right?
Yes.
So, one of them, she speaks to me and she tells me about how she's not used to, you know, dating the way that she's dating with me right now, where she's used to self-sabotaging and and it's like, you gotta take people at their word.
You really do.
You know what I'm saying? Like, she says she's self-sabotaging. That's what she's used to doing. And here I am trying to be the guy who, oh, okay, all right, you're self-sabotaging. Hey, let me help out. Let me make sure that we can actually go along in a better direction. No.
Yep, work through it. Let me give you the tools. Let me help you. Let me guide you. Let me support you. Meanwhile.
Exactly. No, like, I mean, at this point in time, I think it's more so we got to let people work on themselves. You know what I'm saying? Like, when you realize someone needs work, let them work on them. You know, it's not bad time. It's really when you realize it. You know what I mean?
Yes.
As soon as you realize someone needs work, someone needs to work on themselves, let them work on themselves. I'm not going to be the one who's going to try and save you, because I can't save you. I'm not made to save you. I can possibly.
You got to save yourself.
Exactly.
And you have to want to save yourself.
Exactly. It's all on you at the end of the day. It's all on you. You have to save yourself. And we are out here trying to save other people, but this is not our ministry. This is not our ministry. People are supposed to save their own selves.
And on that note, and those words of wisdom, Mr. Late Shift, thank you so much for a dope conversation. I love talking to you, because I always say to people, because I feel like we're in isolation because we're from Toronto and we know what the Toronto scene is like. So I love always talking to you, because, you know, it's always good to get the perspective, because sometimes I feel like, because I move about so much, like, maybe I see things the wrong way. But when I touch base with you, I'm like, no. No, that's exactly what it is.
You know, the thing is, I'm not even going to lie. I mean, I guess it's because of comfort. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Being, because we stay where we're comfortable at. We naturally stay where we're comfortable at. And when it comes to Toronto, I mean, I love Toronto, but when I look at it, really and truly, I feel like Toronto doesn't love me.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like, yes, let me go ahead and find, go where you go where you're appreciated and not tolerated.
Right. Go where you are celebrated and appreciated, mm-hmm, and not tolerated. Mr. Late Shift, can you let the people know where they can find you, where they can get in contact with you? I don't know if you have a release date for your upcoming film.
I don't.
Not as yet? Okay, that's all right. But if people want to follow you and get in contact with you and you know, just participate in anything that you have going on, listen to your works, read your stories, where can they get in contact with you?
All right, so you can go to the Instagram at Mr. Late Shift, Mr. Late Shift, yes. And you can go to Twitter, Mr. MISTER _ late. And yeah, you can see some of the spot that I put on there. But otherwise, most definitely, yeah, I will be sharing a lot more content from there. And with regards to the premiere, I will be sending information. By 2024, we will be sharing information as to when the premiere will take place for the TV series that we're working on. And for the Late Shift podcast is still coming. I am not holding back on that. This is definitely going to happen. Look out for it.
And you know what? 2024 is just around the corner. Where you're saying 2024, you're making it sound like it's months away. Less than a month and a half away.
Yeah.
We will be in the new year, and we're definitely looking forward to all the great things that you have coming.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
So, Posse, bless up yourselves. You know, I appreciate everyone being here and listening to the conversations. Of course, you know, although Mr. Late Shift's DMs are open, if you have questions, ask the right questions. If you're trying to hit on him, that's okay too, but just don't come with no fuckery and go over there to my good friend, please. And thank you.
And I'm no longer fucking fans. That's not happening. If you come for that, it's not happening. When I do.
No, come correct or don't come at all. Please. Step correct or don't step at all. So, Posse, bless up yourselves. As always, continue to practice your self-love and your self-care. The days are longer in the darkness. So if you are someone like myself that suffers from seasonal depression, make sure you're doing the things that are, you know, keeping you grounded and keeping you safe emotionally, mentally, and physically. You know, try to get in the daylight where you can. Get some UV lights in your house to give you a little bit of extra boost, you know, up with the vitamin Ds and the vitamin Cs and all the things that you know that you need to and should be doing, and make sure that you're taking care of yourself. And as always, we appreciate you and thank you for being here for this episode. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thank you very much.
About you. Ooh.